Good morning, this is Edner DeLong from Portland, Oregon. Today is April 16, 2024. I was browsing my library this weekend. Guess what? I found a magazine about the slave trade. So I was like always interested about it because my family was part of it, and multiple people from across the world, especially in the South America, the Caribbean, and actually North America. During the summer and spring and summer, probably the rest of the year, probably if I'm done, I'm gonna focus on learning with you about the slave trade. It's very hard, and for those who suffer it, and it's almost usually sometime I think of it most of the time daily, is unearth the origins of the slave trade and the true impacts that slavery has had on the world. So bear with me, it'll be a pretty long series, and also thanks for those of you who already supported and reading, and we'll be happy to have your feedback and comment. So it's beautiful in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon. The sun's out, but it's still a little chilly. And also for those who want to follow with me, you can, if you're in your local bookstores, you can find is a new edition of history of the, they usually get different history about the human experience, legacy, impacts, all that stuff, different part of. And part of the main history happening. So the issue is from the history of from the maker of all about history. You can pick it up also you in your local bookstore, but I'm gonna narrate a bunch of history, and I give credits to multiple author, and as I've gone along, I will let you know who wrote the story. It's like a book, like a magazine, but it costs almost like a book, the price. So, but this series about the slave trade was one of the most thing I always want to know about that and focus on it. So grab one in the local library and read along with me. The transatlantic slave trade is one of the most shameful chapters in human history. Between the 1500 and 1900, it's estimated that around 12 million African men, women, and children were stolen from their homes by Europeans before being forcefully transported thousands of miles across the Atlantic. These who survived the horrific Middle Passage would then be sold, often separated from the family, put to work as an enslaved laborer on plantation throughout the New World. While these unhuman trade was eventually abolished in 19th century, the scars still remain and lasting impacts are still being felt by community around the world. In this book, we seek to tell the story of the transatlantic slave trade from its origin to its abolition. We discover the impacts on Africa, the horrors of the Middle Passage, and what life was like for millions of enslaved people. And also I'm gonna look to explore the legacy of slavery and how the effects are still being felt in modern world. Human bondage. Slavery is our involuntary servitude has been an element of civilization for thousands of years. From earliest recorded history, the concepts of slavery or involuntary servitude has existed, transcending cultural or ethical condition and enabling those who have exploited human suffering to build humans' wealth and exert control over subservient people. With the emergence of social classes, slavery developed in Sumeria and Mesopotamia, even being referenced in the code of the Hammurabi as an instruction with its purpose and place in society. The development of slavery and civilization stem from the need for labor, simply the performance of the functions that contributed to the augmentation of wealth or the increase of status. Slaves were either captured during the raids and transported to markets to be sold as commodities, taken prisoner during the battle among rival and kingdoms or empire, and cast into bondage as the spoil of the war, sold or surrendered by next of the king to serve monarch or person of high social status, or punished for some egregious crime. From 3500 BC forward, recorded of slave enterprise in Sumeria have survived biblical reference to slave bound, particularly that of the Hebrew people delivered from God from bondage in Egypt. Slavery cast its shadow across the story of the Roman Empire and the magnificence of the critical across the glory of the Roman Empire and the magnificence of the classical Greece. Example of the slavery and involuntary servitude in ancient China and all the Asian culture attest that the institution has not been confined only to Western civilization, and that the transatlantic slave trade was an extension of the practice that predated its hours for centuries. Numerous African kingdoms, in fact, held slavery in high regard, even revered the concept of enslaving. The vanquish of neighboring empire following military victories. Slavery, therefore, is as whole as civilization itself, a symptom of the human condition and one of its basest elements. Trudging along the chain, Roman slaves are led toward an ancient and uncertain future. Identity of slavery. Slavery and involuntary servitude have existed in numerous forms through the centuries. Slavery is, at its most elementary level, the involuntary coercion or detention of an individual to perform some function for benefit of others. It has taken many names and has been shorted in circumstances and suspect justification as well. While some may have offered the dubious argument that slavery actually has benefited an enslaved people that otherwise were disadvantaged and unable to competently determine their own future, others have contended that the institution was necessary tool for the good of society. Therefore, varied genera of slavery have emerged across the millennia. Slavery encompasses those who were simply seized and sold, those who were captured during wartime and made to serve the victors, and those whose family even consider it's a privilege to give their children over to the ruling regime for a lifetime of servitude. Beyond this concept, during the colonial era, indentured servitude allowed individuals to seek their own fortune after paying for passage to America with a specified period of work, usually 7 years, for the benefits of another. Prisoner paying their supposed debts to society have often been employed as laborers, while those who have amassed considerable debt and defaulted have at the time been sentenced into the banish as a result. Even today, slavery persists, although chain may not be visible. Millions of people, young and old, are held against the will around the world, human trafficking for purpose of cheap labor and illicit sex trade flourish despite the best effort of government and law enforcement to eradicate the age-old scourge. Next few segments, I will give you a timeline of Atlantic slave trade in around the world, and specifically in America. The transatlantic slave trade timeline. European economic development and the exploitation of resources in Americas fueled the emergence of the African slave trade. The Portuguese initiated transatlantic slave trade 1526. The trade route from Africa to Brazil. The first known English slave trader, Sir John Hawkins, also established the transatlantic triangular trade route. Sir John Hawkins established English slave trade 1562-1569. Trade routes from England to Africa and the New World, conducting three voyages from England to Sierra Leone on the coast of West Africa, and then to the island of Hispaniola, like in Haiti. Sir John Hawkins is the first Englishman considered to be actively involved in the transatlantic slave trade. His voyage established the triangular trade routes standard for more than two centuries. Ships depart ports of England and other European countries laden with the goods to be traded for slave on the African coast. The slaves are then transported across the Atlantic Ocean via the notorious Middle Passage and sold as laborers to plantation owners in the New World, completing the triangle ship transport commodities and such as cotton, sugar, rum, tobacco, and coffee back to Europe. King James chartered the Company of Adventurers of London, trading to ports of Africa in 1618, London, England. Massachusetts legalized slavery December 10, 1941. Boston, Massachusetts, a slave owner himself, Governor John Winthrop, is a principal author of the Massachusetts Bodies of Liberty, the first collection of law that legalized the institution of slavery in North America. Samuel Merrick, an owner of two slaves, had brought them to the English colony in 1624, while the first slave imported directly to Massachusetts from Africa made the arrival in 1634. In 1638, the slave ship Desire had brought enslaved Africans from Barbados in the Caribbean, and these were exchanged for members of the Pequot tribe captured in New England and placed in bondage between 1755 and 1764. The number of slaves in Massachusetts rise to 2.2% of the total population. Slave introduced in Jamestown on 20 August 1619, Jamestown, Virginia, sailing from the Caribbean in English privateer with a white line which points comfort Nahampton Road. That from Jamestown, Virginia, the first permanent English-speaking colony in North America, they traded 20 African slaves for food and other provision, and these are the first slaves imported to Britain, North America colonies, and during a span of four centuries, an estimated 12 to 13 million slave Africans are brought to North and South America by European traders to the toils of as a field worker, house servants, and laborers. Royal African Company charter September 24, 1672, London, England. King Charles grants a charter to the Royal African Company, effectively monopoly of the English slave trade on the west coast of Africa, from the Cape of Good Hopes to the western reach of the Sahara Desert. The Royal African Company is led by the Duke of York, the future King Charles II, and brother of King Charles II, financed by numerous aristocratic investors. The enterprise will transport more African slaves to America than any other in the history of the transatlantic trade. In 1765, Granville Sharp initiates legal challenge to British slave trade. Toussaint Louverture led a slave uprising in Saint-Domingue or Haiti. 1791, French Caribbean colony of Saint-Domingue. Invention of the cotton gin, 1794, Savannah, Georgia. First Maroon War, Jamaica, 1728 and 1740. Jamaica, while the Caribbean island of Jamaica is under Spanish rule, slaves sometimes escape, reaching the mountain and isolated area, blending with the indigenous people, and maintain a degree of freedom. However, after Britain wrest and control of Jamaica from Spain in 1955, revolts erupt and the number of so-called Maroons increase. British attempts to quell the unrest and control the entire island escalate into the First Maroon War. Although the Britain committed substantial number of troops to the pacification efforts of the stalemate and results in agreements allowing the Maroons to live in certain area without British interference, in exchange the Maroons are to assist in returning escaped slaves and protecting Jamaica from outside threats. Stono Rebellion erupts 9 September 1739, South Carolina. Jamie, a literate slave also known as Cato, leads a group of 20 slaves in rebellion along the coast of South Carolina, Low Country, from the owner plantation of the Stono River. Jamie and cohorts grow to more than 80 in number, killing up to 25 colonists as they march toward Florida, where the Spanish have promised freedom to slaves who escaped the British. However, the South Carolina militia meets the escapees near the Edisto River and suppress the uprising, killing 35 to 50 slaves. Slave Trade Act, 25th March 1807, London, England. Largely due to the efforts of the William Wilberforce and his associates, who had taken up the cause of abolishing slavery in Great Britain 20 years earlier, Parliament passed the Slave Trade Act in 1807. Although the Act prohibited the slave trade in British Empire, it does not abolish the practice of slavery. However, Britain urged other nations to consider abolishing its sanction of slave trade as well. At the time the Act passed, the slave trade remained one of the most profitable business ventures in the empire. Although the institution is not formally ended in Britain until the Slavery Abolition Act 1808, Washington, D.C., the United States banned African slave trade. Spain abolished the slave trade 1820, Madrid, Spain. Parliament passed Slavery Abolition Act 1933, London, England. Ned Turner rebellions on 23rd August 1831, Southampton and County of Virginia. Slave and preacher Ned Turner lead perhaps the most famous slave uprising in American history. Armed with axe and club, Turner and about 70 other slaves began the short-lived rebellion with murderous rampage, killing more than 50 white people. Although the rebellion is put down at Belmont's plantation within days, Turner remained at large for 2 months. He is captured and executed amid of the wave of retaliation, in which approximately 150 black people are executed by a state of Virginia for murder. Slave continue with the transatlantic slave trade timeline. Slaves seized the ship Amistad 1839, Atlantic near coast of North America. Brazil began enforcing law against slave trade 1850, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Dred Scott decision 6 March 1857, Washington, D.C. Dred Scott, a slave whose owner transported him from the slave state of Missouri up to the free state of Illinois and Wisconsin, sued for his freedom. After returning to Missouri, asserting that since he had been transported to the free territory, he was no longer a slave. After defeat in Missouri State's Court and U.S. Federal Court, the case is appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, which ruled 7-2 against Scott. In the landmark decision, Chief Justice Burr telling White the blacks are not included and were not intended to be included under the world were citizen in the Constitution and therefore could claim none of those rights of other U.S. citizens. John Brown raid 1618 October 1859, Harper Ferry, Virginia. Abolitionist Front John Brown led 22 men on the raid to seize the federal arsenal, Harper Ferry, Virginia, previously involved in other acts of anti-slavery related violence. Brown and several of its men are trapped in the arsenal fire engine housed by U.S. Marines under the command of future Confederate General Robert E. Lee. When Marines is killed and other wounded, while 10 raiders die, 7 are captured and 5 escape. Brown is convicted of treason and executed in 2nd December 1859. Emancipation Proclamation. In the midst of the Civil War and following the 10-year strategic victory on the battlefield of Antietam, President Abraham Lincoln issues a Emancipation Proclamation, ostensibly freeing the slave held in territory then rebelling against the United States. the proclamation does not free slaves in the border state of Maryland, Kentucky, Missouri, which remain in the Union, since the rebellious territory are not fully under Union control. The document served primarily to add another dimension to the war. Now, not only is the conflict being prosecuted to preserve the Union, but also to end the institution of slavery in the United States. December 1865, United States abolished slavery. The 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution is ratified by 27 of 36 U.S. states, abolishing slavery and involuntary servitude in the country unless as punishment for a crime. The amendment has been initially proposed on April 1864 and passed the Senate by a vote of 38-6. However, it fell in the House of Representatives with a tally of 93 in favor and 65 against, 13 votes short of the third majority required for passage. Origins of the transatlantic slave trade uncover the little-known Genesis history of Dorcas trade. When Francisco de Rosa looked out on the new world from the deck of the Santa Maria de la Luz, the mariner was satisfied with the jobs well done, setting out from Argum, a tiny island off the coast of what now is Mauritania and West Africa. The Rosa had crossed the Atlantic and made it safely to Puerto Rico with a valuable cargo. Among the goods he carried sailed on the order to the south of the Atlantic were at least 50 African slaves. The Rosa voyage in 1520 was the second known to have been undertaken by a slave ship that sailed direct from Africa to Americas. It may also have commanded the first slave crossing a year earlier, in which at least 60 were transported. They were among the first voyage in horrific trade in human beings. By the time that transatlantic slavery came to an end 400 years later, more than 12 million Africans had been forcibly shipped across the ocean. This is the story of a transatlantic slave to its murky beginnings. Despite its relative proximity, the African continent beyond the Mediterranean coast was little known to Europeans at the turn of 15th century. Only when the Queen Castilian and Portuguese seafarers began to understand the regular pattern of Atlantic currents and winds could they begin to explore to the south a small but maneuverable caravel. Castilians began the conquest of the Canary Island in 19 in 1402, Portuguese explorer discover the uninhabited island and Madeira. In 1419, the Azores in 1427, and Cape Verde in 1456. The New Island had a climate and fertile soil that were perfect for the production of wine and sugar, and were soon settled by pioneering colonists. However, the hard manual graph required to carve a living on the island was reserved for others. Although the native Canary Islanders, the Guanches, were an ideal source of labor, it was a limited pool of workers. An alternative source of labor was soon found. In addition to mapping the waters of the its East Atlantic, navigator moved down the coast of Africa, pushing beyond the previously known limits of Cape Bojador to reach the Cape Blanco in 1441, the Bay of Aguin in 1443, and Cape Verde in 1444. They were stumbled across a century-old trade network in which African states sold slaves to Arab merchants who transported them across the Sahara to North Africa. The profits of the trans-Saharan slave trade meant that the West Africa that the European discoverer was extremely affluent. By the 14th century, the Mali Empire had grown larger than Western Europe. When its leader Mansa Musa visited Cairo on his Hajj pilgrimage in 1324, his possessions reportedly included 6,000 men, of whom 12,000 were slaves carrying gold bar to pay his way. So vast was his fortune that Musa party inadvertently caused inflation as the price rocketed in response to devaluing gold for more. In Europe and or the island colony of the East Atlantic, by 1455 up to 800 slaves a year were being transported from Aguin to Portugal. By the turn of the century, some 81,000 slaves had been transported from the African coast on the Portuguese ship, and as much as 10% of the population of Lisbon may have been African or African descent. The use of African as labor in Europe and her colony provided a steady but small flow of slaves from West Africa trading ports, and however, demand for slave work rocketed after the first explorer returned from the other side of the ocean with the tales of vast unclaimed lands. When Christoph Columbus discovered Hispaniola, the island containing modern Haiti and Dominican Republic, in 1492, it was probably home to hundreds of thousands of indigenous inhabitants, the Taino. However, Spanish colonization was violent. Any natives who opposed the conquerors were mercilessly cut down. while European disease for which the Taino had no immunity cut through the population. The first smallpox epidemic in Hispaniola and Puerto Rico may have claimed the lives of around 2/3 of the native population within the 30 years. The number of the native plummeted by around 85%. By 1514, according to Spanish census, there were only 26,000 Taino left under the Spanish control. The rich gold mines and agriculture fields that the Spanish had discovered in the New World would be useless if there was nobody to work on them. It was a situation repeated across the Caribbean. Millions of native inhabitants of the island may have died on the first two or three decades of Spanish expansion. With no local workforce, slaves were shipped from the west coast to Africa to Europe, and from there into the New World. And the first African, the first African slave known to have landed in America was Hispaniola in 1502, while four African slaves are known to have been shipped from Europe to Cuba in 1513. The Spanish had lost one workforce. Their solution was to ship another in from the other side of the ocean. Then a decade after his visit, Emperor Askia, the great of the Songhai Empire, completed a similar opulence hajj more than a century later, while the Kingdom of Congo was an influential trading state of half a million of people with an impressive capital of Mozambique, Congo. It was a tale of such a prosperity and gold that drew European explorers to African coast. The mouth of the elite eager to trade with the witch ruler. In 1445, the Portuguese established a trading post on small island in sheltered bay just off the coast of modern Mauritania. Agueng gave the merchant a base from which they could acquire gold and other commodity, including slaves who could fetch a decent price in Europe. Africa, other slave trade. Slavery was already endemic in African society when European explorers first came down the west coast. Slaves may have been punished for a crime or death, or were member of the rival tribes who had been captured in a war of kidnapping by raiding party. However, African slaves may have held different status to those who were unfortunate enough to be chattel slave on the other side of the Atlantic. They may have had some right, like owning property and holding public office. When Islam began to spread into the Africa in the 7th century, Muslim traders began to range south in search for new markets and partner. Pioneers discovered routes through the Sahara Desert that passed left preserving west, often concluding their journey at Sidi Mansa or Karong, modern Morocco, and Tunisia. And thousands of slaves were taken across the desert each year for use of as worker, domestic servant, and concubine in North Africa and the wider Islamic world. In on 18 August 1518, King Charles I of Spain made the new transatlantic slave trade ruthlessly efficient when he initiated a new document that authorized the transportation of slave direct from Africa to the Americas. The charter allowed Lorenzo Lugoverde, a trusted advisor and a member of the King Council of State, to transport 4,000 Negro slaves, both male and female, to the Indies. The island and the mainland of the Ocean Sea already discovered or to discover by ship direct from the Isles of Guinea and all the region from which they are want to bring they said Negroes. The charter was reward of the Coravorte for good service, a chance to make fortune by granting him the first chance to profit from a trade route, but he had no intention of involving himself directly in human trafficking. The rights granted to him were subcontracted and resold a number of times until they fell into the hands of Genoese merchant Domingo Foreman, two Castilian merchants, Juan de la Torre and Juan Fernandez de Castro, and Seville based Genoese banker Gaspar Centurion. They arranged for various seafarers to carry out the work of transporting 4,000 African slaves from one side of the Atlantic to the other. At least four voyages took place in 1519, 1520. The voyage under the command of Francisco de Rosa, May in 1521 and October 1521 each, departed from Aguan and landed to Puerto Rico, although it's likely that over all the ship carried slaves from Aguin to Haiti. There were also at least six slave voyages from Cape Verde to the Caribbean between 1518 and 1530. By 1522, direct slave voyage had begun from another starting point, the island of Sao Tome, some 2,000 miles along the African coast, opposite what is now Gabon. Among these trip was a ship carrying 139 slaves. That trip across the Atlantic in 1522, and another with as many as 248. And in 1529, the first enslaved African to reach mainland North America arrived in 1526 as a part of the ill-fated Spanish attempt to colonize San Miguel de Guadalupe. While African burial at a cemetery in Campeche, Mexico suggests that African slaves may have been shipped to Central America almost as soon as Hernan Cortes had subjugated the Aztec and Mayan Empire. The transatlantic slave trade was born from relatively humble beginnings. the number of slaves crossing the ocean will grow and grow. British slave ship will soon eclipse the deeds of the Iberian predecessor, transporting millions of slaves in the 18th century. The scars of the slave trade still remain today. While slave labor in the colonies helped European power to become rich industrial nation, the African population and economy stagnated and fell behind the rest of the world. Ever increasing European demands meant that slave trading, African rulers needed to have a growing ready supply of slave labor, triggering raids and war that unsettled the continent and left a legacy of tribal conflicts and civil war. An African diaspora exists throughout North and South America, but long held racial prejudice have simmered well beyond the ends of the slave trade and into the 21st century, especially in the United States. The ill effects of the 400 years of transatlantic slave trade were unintended consequence of the age of discovery. Slave center. First, Agwan is the coast of Africa. It's one of the first European slave trading base of the coast of Africa, established in 1445. Sao Tome is an island trading base that was a hub for slave traffic to the America from the Kingdom of Congo. Elmina Castle, built in 1482, the slave holding, now the oldest European building south in Sahara, Canary Island. The earliest European demand for African slave arose from needs for workers and island of colonies of this East Atlantic, Hispaniola or Haiti. The first non-African slave in America arrived in Haiti in 1502 after circuitous passage via Europe, San Miguel de Guadalupe, founded in 1526 by Lucas Vazquez. Ivy Young, 600 colonists of the first Spanish attempt to colonize the mainland, including number of slaves. Slave routes. Beside the transatlantic slave triangle, there were also slave routes prior to European colonization of America, such as the Arab trade across the Sahara. First triangular trades began. The first part of the triangular trade saw European manufactured goods taken to Africa where they could be exchanged for slave. Middle Passage, the infamous leg of the slave trade, the 6 to 8 weeks voyage across the Atlantic, saw that slave kept encamped in unsanitary condition with much lost life. To the closing of the triangle, the raw material are produced by slave or plantation cotton or sugar, rubber, tobacco were shipping back to Europe in factories. In other routes, the Trans-Sahara, like 700 to 1900s, Muslim traders used horses in the Sahara Desert to transport slaves from the Ouagadou and Mali Empire to the Arab Kingdom in the modern Morocco and Tunisia. Crimean Khanates, 700 to 1900. The Crimean successor of the vast Mongol Empire trade with the Ottoman Empire, supplying them with the capturing prisoner for Eastern Europe and Northern Russia. Varangian Volga, Viking who live in the Northern European slave Slavs in their raid along the Volga River and sold them in the south to Byzantine Muslim empires. The Jamestown captive of 1619 discovered how the unexpected arrival of enslaved Africans shed the light on the early years of colonial slavery. It was probably a hot and swelteringly humid and typical summer day on mid-Atlantic seaboard when the ship sailed into Port Comfort and dropped anchor in the James River in the late August 1619. Although flying the Dutch flag, the privateer carrying a letter of marque allowing it to attack Spanish and Portuguese traders was undeniably English. It had an English name. White Lion was owned by Robert Rich and the Earl of Warwick and sailed under the Cornish captain. Their destination was Jamestown in Virginia, the colony's biggest and most important settlement. The ship's visit was recorded by John Rolfe, a colonist better known to history as a husband of Pocahontas, the Native American princess who had died 2 years before in 1617. Rolfe noted that John Job, the captain of the White Lion, brought not anything but 20 and odd Negroes, which governor and Cape merchant brought for victuals, whereof he was in great need as a pretended at the best and easiest rates they could. It is traditional starting point of the African American story, repeated in the countless school textbook and learned by generation of American children. Yet the truth is more nuanced. Although in 1619 is often considered to mark the beginnings of the Black history and American slavery in popular culture, the landing of the 20th and odd Africans in Jamestown was just one step, albeit on extremely important one, in the surprisingly lengthy creation of North America infamous slave system. It is certainly true that the African transported across the Atlantic were taken against their will. The Kimbundu speaking people from the kingdom of Nongo between the Lucala and Kwanzaa rivers and present-day Angola live in a developed urban civilization based around tribally governed towns and villages. The king lived in a capital city, Kabasa, along with 50,000 of his subjects. However, the numerically superior Nongo were unable to resist when the Portuguese, who had been slowly encroaching into West Africa, allied with the enemy tribes. A military campaign beginnings in 1618 drove deep into Nongo territory and saw thousands of captives march several hundred miles to the coast. There, they boarded at least 36 Iberian slave ships, one of which was the was the Portuguese vessel São João Batista. Sometimes Hispanicized San Juan Bautista. The Atlantic voyage took a heavy toll on its human cargo. Of the 250 African aboard São João Batista, around 150 died on its long journey. Then, when the ship was in a relative safety of the Bay of Campeche of the Gulf of Mexico and almost within sight of its destination, Veracruz, it's ambushed by the White Lion and another privateer, the treasurer, the lumbering slaver, was swiftly boarded, and although the English had been hoping for a rich cargo of gold, they made off with around 50 of the remaining Africans instead of São João Batista limped onward to Veracruz. The privateer set sail for the new English colony in Virginia, but became separated in the choppy waters of Atlantic. Governor Sir George Hurdley and herd merchants Abraham Pursley may have been surprised by the cargo on an offer when the White Lion dropped anchor at Jamestown, but they nonetheless argued the majority of the 30 or so captive that the ship carried. 4 days later, the treasurer received less warm welcome at the nearby village of Kikoton. The captain, Daniel Elfith, had been blamed for an outbreak of dysentery that struck Virginia after his ship had docked 2 previous years. Elfith swiftly offloaded a few more captives in exchange for much needed supply before the 2 privateer left. In all, on the remaining African on board were taken to work on the estate of the Earl of Warwick in Bermuda. The African on board of the White Lion had been ripped from their homeland and forced into a treacherous trip across the ocean and survive at the battle at the sea. Now they found themselves living in a new colony built on a swampy, isolated island in the James River, established in 1607. Jamestown was hardly thriving settlement. Its London investors had hoped for. Native American considered the island uninhabitable. That's only 60 of 500 colonies managed to survive the first 3 years, and the kids there were correct. Evidence suggests that the survivor may have turned to cannibalism during the Hunger Winter of 1609 or 1610. Additional threat came in a form of disease, hardly surprising given the mosquito-ridden swamps. And the strength of relation with the Powhatan Confederacy that occasionally erupted into the violent raid. Yet within a few years, the colonies had successfully established a foothold in a new world. John Rolfe arrived on the 3rd supply flew from London in 1609 with a bag of tobacco cedar he had obtained from Spanish sources, and discovered that Virginia soil was ideal for tobacco cultivation. The Staggering Colony had found a profitable trade, and it quickly expanded as a new land was claimed and planted, often incurring the wrath of the local native tribes who considered it their own. Hundreds of prospective colonists made the expensive trip across the Atlantic as indentured servants in exchange for pasture, shelter, and food. Immigrants agreed to work for a planter for 3 to 7 years. They were promised money or plots of land to make a start and as an independent worker when the term of service was complete. The African captive aboard the White Lion, it would have also been a useful addition to the workforce on tobacco plantation, and the name they went by in Africa, even their exact homeland and language, are unknown to us. Many early colonial census record and the documented list of African only by their race rather by the name, and a few have made a mark in the record of as referred to by Portuguese or English name they were given on board the Sao Jaro Bautista or in Jamestown. In a census conducted in March 1620, a few months after the White Lion and Treasure stop at Jamestown, there were 30 African documented as living in Virginia, of whom 50 were men and 17 were women. By 1624, this small African population had shrunk to only 21, although such a high death rate seemed horrifying. It was probably no worse than the faced by their white contemporary colonists. The invasion of Longo. How did the Jamestown first African end up aboard a Portuguese slave ship? Some 100 years before the Longo captive arrived in Jamestown, King Manuel I of Portugal received an embassy from his counterpart in the Kingdom of Longo, Nangala, Kalonji, Kia, Samba. The African rules sought independence from the Kingdom of Congo, to which Longo was a vassal state, and asked for Christian missionary in the hope that might forge an alliance with the European. However, it began an uneasy relationship between the two countries that culminated in the Longo people being shipped across the Atlantic. For the next century, the Portuguese began to increase their influence on Congo, and Longo gradually incorporated coastal lands into the colony of Angola and meddling in and disrupting African affairs whenever possible. When the Portuguese came into contact with the Mbangala, a ruthless group of nomadic raiders, then encouraged them into the service of the Portuguese king, thanks to the help of the missionary band. Governor Luis Mendes, the Vasconcelos, was able to invade Longo in 1618, then the capital was Saklam and the King Nangala. Mambudi was forced to flee to an island of Kandunga in the Kwanza River. Nango survived the onslaught and the peace negotiation brought the war to a close in 1921, but none before the thousands of Nango subjects had been taken prisoner by the advancing Ambagala. Among them were the 20 also captive who were marched in the coast and forced aboard the 50 to Sao João Batista. The next time they stepped in the land, it was on the side of the Atlantic in Jamestown. Of the race had to face constant outbreaks of illness and disease, while a single attack by the Powhatan tribes in 1622 killed a quarter of the population of the colony in one day. Only the briefest of details survive about the fragile lives of the African. One of the captives who arrived in 1619 was a female named Angelo or Angela. In 1625, she was listed as a Angelo, a woman, African woman in the treasurer, living in the house of Lieutenant William Pierce in Jamestown, probably sharing domestic duty with three white indentured servants. In 2017, archaeologists are at Jamestown uncover a quarry shells of the site of a peace house. Quarry shells were valuable artifacts and in West Africa used as a currency in the religious practice, and it was likely an object of special significance to his African servants. Two Africans by the names of Anthony and Isabella named and live in the Elizabeth City just outside Jamestown, where they would work for Captain Tucker, a Virginia Company of London stockholder. In 1924, Anthony and Isabella had a son they named William Tucker. After their employer, the baby was the first person of African ancestry born in an English colony under North America. Yet until the country black babies born in the colony and the United States over the next two centuries, William Tucker was not born a slave. The African was disembarked to the White Lion and treasure worker under contact and indenture servant rather than as a slave. Virginia General Assembly had seen no need to legislate slavery into the law of the colony, and as a consequence, the African were bound by the same rights, duty, and privilege and punishment as a white migrant who accepted the term of indenture servitude. Although they were probably given no choice but to accept the term of service, the African captive who complete the contract were granted 20 to 50 acres to grow their own tobacco or the crops and some basic supply to get them through the first year as a free labor. There's no denying that the indenture service was a harsh backbreaking life for the restriction on civil or liberty, but it was not slavery. Some Africans took advantage of the early equity and the love to rise in the rise of a society, like most of the other early African in North Africa and North America were. We do not know the names that Anthony and Johnson was born with the West Africa. He sailed to Jamestown from London in 1621. Aboard the James, after working for several years on a tobacco plantation belonging to a wealthy merchant, Edward Bennett, he was released from his contact of servitude sometime after 1635. James began his life as a free man alongside his wife, Mary, another African American who was shipped to Jamestown to work on a Bennett's plantation in 1623. He set to work building up his own small scale tobacco plantation, including taking on his own indentured servants, both black and white. Nevertheless, although they were benefited from far more equality than the subsequent decades and centuries, the first African in Jamestown almost certainly suffer racial discrimination. There was already established racial caste. System in the Portuguese and Spanish colony of the New World, and it is likely that the English colony viewed their black counterpart with a degree of prejudice too. As the years passed, laws were drawn up to condemn some black workers to be indentured for life and codify the institution of slavery. First African American family. Although only a fragment of the document survived, the piece together the lives of Jamestown first Africans, it is possible their mortal remains are still with us. The Tucker Cemetery in Hopton has been used for generations of black Virginians, some of whom believe oral histories trace their ancestors back to William Tucker, the first baby African American descent born in Virginia, beyond to Angola. Although tombstone and record of burial only date back to 1800s, a group penetrating radar survey of the 2-acre site also known as the Old Colored Burial Ground has found another 104 unmarked burial that's may date to 17th and 18th century. A macabre discovery was made in July 2017 when a king grand keeper cut back some of out of control shrubbery. He found the roots has displaced a skull from an old grave. Experts conclude that it belonged to an approximately 6-year-old female African American ancestry. Since the cemetery is only 400 meters from the site of William Tucker's plantation, it's a fascinating possibility that one of the graves may even belong to William Tucker himself, although chances of identifying it's almost zero since we know nothing about the firstborn African American beyond the facts that he was born and baptized. After that, he disappeared into the midst of history. Did he survive childhood, or did he have his own children when become a modern Virginian who claim him his as a ancestor today? And given how the status of Black African was changing in Virginia early years, did Tucker end his life as a free man or servant or slave? The first definitive instance of a lifetime servitude was recorded in July 1640 by Virginia's General Court. John Punch, a Black indentured servant, escaped from his master, Hugh Crane, along with two white servants. After capture, the court extended the indenture contract of the Dutch and the Scottish runaways by 4 years. Punch received a much harsher sentence, the third being an African named John Punch shall serve his said master or his assigned for the time of his natural life here or elsewhere. Essentially, Punch was now a servant for life, or to put it another way, is an enslaved with no chance of earning his freedom. Even African people could become slave owner under the new system. And in 1953, Anthony Johnson, the African who had worked his way to freedom under the term of his indenture servitude, was taken to Cannon by one of his African workers, John Kasser, who claimed his indenture had expired 7 years earlier, and that he was being held illegally by John Kasser, won his freedom after a legal battle and went to work for a different planter. But the appeal court reversed the decision and ruled that Kasser did not have proof that he had a contract of indenture. Essentially, the judiciary determined that Kasser was not an indenture servant, but an enslaved who was required to work for Johnson for the rest of his life. While the case of Johnson Punch and John Kasser gave judicial sanction to the ideas of a lifetime servitude, in 1662, law extended the institution of slavery. It was a direct response to 1660 legal challenge by Elizabeth Key, Virginia-born daughter of an African servant and an English planter. Key argued that she was not slave but a free woman, that due to her white English father, although she won her battle for freedom, the Virginia legislature ensured that a similar claim in future will fail when they pass law stating that all the children born in the colony will take the status of the mothers, regardless of the paternity, since Black women were far more likely to have a child to a white man than a Black man were to have a child with a white woman. Due to the fact that many slaves were abused by their owners, the new law was deliberately racial policy. Children born to an enslaved mother would be enslaved themselves. Slavery was no longer limited to a Black woman's lifestyle, but extended to their offspring too. The status of African American in the English colony were confirmed. Slavery was codified, yet it took more than 40 years from the landing to the White Line and the Port Comfort to establish the institution of slavery. The Jamestown captive in 1619 and their immediate successor, though forcibly removed from their homeland and having endured the terrible hardship, were still opportunity and liberty that would have seemed unimaginable to the generation who followed. Just as the disembarkation of the handful of Nango in 1619 did not mark the beginnings of the slavery in North America, the arrival was not the starting point of African American history as a whole. Around 500,000 Africans are thought to have crossed the Atlantic in a century or so prior to the arrival of the Jamestown captive, as early as the voyage of Christopher Columbus. Black Africans were transported from one side of the Atlantic Ocean to the others. The exact status of Columbus African, whether they were slave or free, is unclear. What we do know is that they was already established system of African being enslaved and put to work in Europe or in the first European colony on the island of Africa as early as 1501, and slave cross the Atlantic as Portugal and Spain began building up the young colonies in Brazil and Uruguay or bags in the slave labor. In 1513, the first documented case of an African stepping in North America, as so it was recorded by Juan Garrido, was not a slave but a soldier born in Congo, but fighting for the kings of Spain. And after participating in a conquest of the Hispaniola, Puerto Rico, and Cuba, Garrido joined the expedition of the Juan Ponce de Leon that searched for Fountain of Youth in present-day Florida. Garrido's time in North America was limited by 1520. He was part of the army besieging the Aztec capital of Tenochtitlan, and retired to a farm in Mexico City. When Garrido went on to spend his old age tending crops in the fields, and Spanish effort colonized North America continued in 1526. An expedition on behalf of Emperor Charles I attempted to settle in San Miguel de Guadalupe on the Georgian coast. It was on an ill-fated venture doomed to failure due to the starvation disease and hostile Latin American. A disastrous triumvirate of the threats that will become familiar to colonial venture over the next century. But the final nail in the coffin was a slave rebellion. The exact number of slaves in the colony unknown The only contemporary chronicle or merely state that some of the 600 settlers were Black African. The same account notes that the slave had their reason for burning down the house of one of the colony leaders, and some historians suggest that the slave managed to escape to live among the local native tribes. Whatever the fate of the San Miguel de Guadalupe slave, it's unclear that the captured African were part of the expedition, and despite the revolt, slave continued to be shipped to the Spanish New World. In 1528, the Narvaez expedition left Cuba and landed in Florida, although they were actually aiming for Mexico with the aim of founding two new towns. It's another almighty failure that only ended 8 years later, where four survivors from the original pioneers trek into Mexico City, having been forced into the slow cross-continental journey around the Gulf of Mexico. One of the four was Andres Dorantes de Carranza, who was accompanied by Moroccan slave Estevans Fininco. The African renewed for company his master, surviving against all odds was not freedom. Instead, he was sold to the Viceroy in New Spain and tasked with leading further expedition to North America. The three white survivors politely declined similar offer, as Vinco had no choices. It was not just the Spanish who included slaves in their difficult attempts to settle in North America. Enslaved Africans may have been on the border in Sir Francis Drake's fleet when he arrived in Roanoke Island in 1586. The famed English privateer had plundered the Spanish settlement of Cartagena on the coast of Colombia and San Agustin, Florida, making off with both Native American and African slaves who he was intending to disembark in the Virginia colony. He expected to find a flourishing settlement in need of labor. He actually found a starving population begging him to return them to England. Drake took them home, but it had been few slaves accompanying the failed colonies on the voyage to Europe. Whether they were sold in the Caribbean or were simply abandoned in a new world is unknown. Perhaps the saddest part of the story is that nobody bothered to record what happened to them. Drake was already familiar with the slave trade prior to the journey to Roanoke in the 1560s. He and his cousin John Hawkins were part of the three trips to Guinea and Sierra Leone, capturing the more than a thousand African from Portuguese bases in transporting them to Spanish planter in Haiti. These crossing were among the first that English seafarers made it to a slave trade 5 years later when English colony were established on the island. In the Atlantic slave followed in 1612, Bermuda was the focus of a settlement. Partly within 4 years, enslaved Africans were taken from former Spanish colony in the Caribbean and Bermuda, predating the arrival of the Jamestown captive by 3 years. The English was not the first to transport across the Atlantic, nor were Jamestown captive the first African to set foot and the colonies of the New World. Angela, Anthony, and Abela in the contemporary who disembarked at Jamestown were taken against their will, but they were enslaved in the same way there that millions of others of their race would be in North America. However, the landing of the White Lion in 1619 was an important milestone of African American history, a key step in the long journey that culminated in the most notorious and famous example of chattel slavery based on race. Today, that's the first part of the slave trade, history of a slave trade. The transatlantic trade is one of the most shameful chapter of human history, as you may know. In human history, between 1500 and 1900, it's estimated that around 12 million African men, women, and children were stolen from the home by Europeans before being forcefully transported thousands of miles across the Atlantic. Those who survived the horrific Middle Passage wouldn't be so often separated from their families and put to work as enslaved laborer on plantation throughout the New World. While this human trade was eventually abolished in 19th century, the scars still remain and the lasting impact is still being felt by the community around the world. In this book, this podcast, we seek to tell the story of the transatlantic slave trade from its origin to its abolition. We discover the impacts on America and Africa, the horrors of the Middle Passage, and what life was like for millions of enslaved people. We also look to explore the legacy of slavery and how the effects are still being felt in the modern world. Finished. Identity of slavery. Slavery and involuntary servitude have existed in numerous forms through centuries. Slavery is at its most elementary level the involuntary coercion or detention of an individual to perform some function for the benefit of others. It has taken many names and has been shrouded in sincere circumstances and suspect of justification as well. While some may have offered the dubious argument that slavery actually has benefited an enslaved people that otherwise were disadvantaged and unable to competently determine their own future. Others have continued that the institution was a necessary tool for good of a society. Therefore, very general of slavery have emerged across the millennia. Slavery encompasses those who were simply seized and sold, those who were captured during wartime and made note to serve to the victor, and those whose family even consider it a privilege to give their children over to ruling regime for a lifetime of servitude. Beyond those concepts during the colonial era, an indentured servitude allowed individuals to seek their own fortune after paying the passage of America with a specified period of work, usually 7 years, for benefits of another. Prisoner paying the supposed debt to society have often been employed as laborers, while those who have amassed considerable debt and defaulted have at a time been sentenced into bondage as a result. Even today, slavery persists, although the change may not be visible. Millions of people, young, old, are held against their will around the world, human trafficking for the purpose of cheap labor, and illicit sex trade flourish despite the best effort of government and law enforcement to eradicate the age-old scourge. Thank you. I am Adner Delorme. This was the first part of our story about the slave trade. Thank you. See you next time.